Thank you all for tuning into the Sickest Podcast. If you're listening to me right now, it's because you found me on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Android podcast apps, and now YouTube. We're excited to let you know we're going to be dropping 2 podcasts a month now. So spread the word, spread the love on Insta, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and at Gmail, all at Sickest Podcast, S-I-K-H-I-S-T Podcast. We're really, really excited. We know you're going to like some of this new stuff that we have coming for you. This is the Sickest Podcast, a sick voice on various exciting topics. Before we start, I want to give a shout out to the one and only SJAM403 for creating the sickest beat for the Sickest Podcast. Thank you once again. Show him some love. Now, without further ado, we hope you enjoy this next podcast. Stay blessed. Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh. Welcome, Sajjano, to the Sickest Podcast. Today, I'm really excited to have someone that I have a lot of respect for, a lot of love for, a brother from another mother, if you will, someone I met back way back in 2006, 2007, maybe. We have Mr. Sicknet himself, Gurmastak Singh. Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa.
Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh. Thanks, Edge, here.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, just here in the UK.
Yeah. What a place to meet, eh, after all these years in the UK?
Yeah, he just surprised me at a visit in the Shepherd's Bush Gurdwara, and it was such a nice thing to see him after so long.
I was actually tracking you down. I heard you were here, and I was like, I took a train and switched a bunch of trains just so I could to catch you and surprise you. And it's actually your birthday, so happy birthday.
Thanks a lot, Sajjur. Appreciate it.
So, you know, I always ask this question, and we'll be brief because I know you've gone over this in some of your videos. How did you get on this path, and what does this path of Sikhi mean to you, bro?
I think for me, it's really been probably a little bit different than many Sikhs, just because growing up in a different lifestyle with my parents kind of being from a different faith, originally adopting the Sikh faith in their teens and 20-somethings, being from different religious backgrounds. And most of the people in our community are from so many different cultures, faiths. So it's this big melting pot that people are coming in to work on themselves to be spiritual people, and really in very, with a lot of innocence that, you know, with much of the Sikh community, your parents' generations have brought this tradition down from generation to generation and generation for people like us so that we could benefit from it. And so, you know, most of our community was coming into this so new and so fresh. And so when we're seeing Sikhi, like, just in the basic fundamentals, like, I don't consider myself to be any kind of expert scholar or anything. I really just connect with the very basics of just what the Guru Nanak's teachings are and the core essence. And I think that has always been kind of my guiding force of how I live my life. And just having been brought up with this kind of diversity has given me a lot of openness to understanding different perspectives and being different myself. Like, I'm a white guy, and going in India, people staring at me.
I never noticed that you were white.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the early days when I was in boarding school in India, it was such a novelty. Everybody would be staring at us. And if you've gone to India and you look different, there's no qualms about staring. They're just like blatantly just laser stare at you. They won't, they're not ashamed or anything. So that was kind of the norm. And then coming back here in the US, it was, you know, it was just another novelty, both from the Western and Punjabi Sikhs.
So was it like, you know, when I grew up, we faced a lot of racism looking the way we looked in a predominantly white community back then. There wasn't as many brown people or Sikhs. Did you face racism in India on that level, or was it more of like, this is different, or this is, you know, what type of experiences were you getting?
Yeah, I think it's evolved over time. In the early days, it was definitely we were met with a lot of love, and, you know, it was something very new. There was an excitement that, amazing that other people are coming onto this path who are not from Punjab. And so I always remember that feeling of love and appreciation of seeing that happen. It's not until like much later that I think, maybe you could call it like you get to know somebody and you spend a little more time, even like a relationship, you know, marriage, as you get a little deeper, you got to work out the issues. And us as the Sikh community, we've gotten to know each other for better or for worse. And sometimes we don't communicate like a relationship. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't work things out like a relationship. And it takes time to kind of get to know each other and work through some of the things. But I think there's always been kind of this shadow side of, because many of us are different from a different cultural background, there's been kind of like this bridge. So think of it like in Canada or in the US, maybe not so much in Canada because you're pretty established and you have your whole like Punjabi area, which is really Punjabi.
Yeah.
But in the US, where people don't feel, there's a lot of immigrants who come who don't feel like a part. They feel isolated, like they have to stay within their little niche of people. They don't know the language, they don't know the culture. So in the same way, Sikhs, there was kind of this gap of like, they see us, they don't know what to make of us. They say, oh, they do this yoga, they follow this guy. They don't really understand what we're about and say, do they believe what we believe? Do they believe something else? And they just hear random things, or they have, you know, rumors or whatever, but they don't necessarily take the time to get to know us and really understand and go heart to heart. And so I think because of that, there's been this kind of gap that has kept us apart, particularly from my parents' generation, because it was a lot bigger gap. And my generation, like me and you, we both grown up in the West. There's no gap really. So the only kind of gaps at this point are really just depending on how you were raised. If you were raised in a very rigid viewpoint about how you practice your spirituality, then there might be more of a gap. But if you were raised in a pretty multicultural environment with other faiths and other people and other perspectives, then we would get along great. So that's kind of, I think, probably the biggest area that I think of going forward, how things have changed from the early days to now.
You know, I went to Thailand and a couple of years back, it was my first time being somewhere, and after a very long time and having like, I met so many different people there. It was like a kickboxing Muay Thai type of camp. And so I met so many people from different countries, right? So I made friends with a guy from Turkey, someone from the Netherlands, someone from Dubai. And we all sat and we all talked about the same comedians we liked, right? Or the same concepts. And I realized at that point, because I didn't have too much experience of traveling alone, after the internet, I realized that the internet really brought this kind of global culture that made it easier to connect with everybody else, right? So do you think that has helped, like having the internet? And I know that's kind of the reason why you created SikhNet as well. Do you think that has helped bridge that gap?
Yeah, I would say earlier on, like I still talk to people who come up and say, yeah, I've been there from the very beginning or from the early days. And those were the kind of glory, innocent days of the internet. And certainly SikhNet has always been a place to just connect people and provide a platform for people, anybody to get inspired, to meet other people, to, you know, learn and uplift themselves. And I think that it still does that, but the internet has changed quite a bit in that it's you could maybe even look at it like the same metaphor I was using before, where now that things are more mature and, you know, the way that people are using it isn't as positive in many ways. There's a lot of the dark sides of stock, you know, kind of trolls, people who are and information that's being shared around to provoke and inflame situations, or even just every day you turn on the news and whatever, there's like all this heavy stuff and it's just so pulling you down and pulling you down. So that's the dark side of it. Yeah. And the positive side, and this is what SeekNet, what we always try to provide, is we don't want to feature any of that stuff. We're trying to, you know, put out the positive things, try to be the light, try to be a support and share voices of other people who are trying to do the same.
So like on that note, I think what you're trying to say is it can be a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Right. And it's very easy to get caught up in the fear and negativity, because that's what news media feeds on. They feed on fear and negativity to sell headlines. And sometimes people use that to try to, you know, get more hits or likes or whatever it is. And it's unfortunate, because I just want to share with the listeners how I met you. I don't know if you remember this, but me and my friend, we were getting into Sikhi, and I don't want to use his name. I'm not sure if, you know, I have that permission right now, but we decided to look more into Sikhi on the internet. It was like kind of new there, and we came across some yoga stuff, and we started practicing yoga, right? Some breath work and stuff, spinal flexes and stuff. And we ended up seeing this yoga retreat in Florida. And we're like, oh, yo, we can learn some, like, you know, basic techniques. We've never done it before, right? So we end up going all the way to Florida, and it's a solstice. And that's like, yeah, that's like, you know, that's not a beginner level.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're there. We're like, oh, we're going to learn a few techniques here and there. So the first day we're walking around, and we see you. And I turned to my buddy, I'm like, Mr. SeekNet. And that's when you just started Mr. SeekNet, right? So I was there at the beginning, and you were kind of surprised to be recognized, right? Because it was like the beginning, and you were like, I was like, oh, Mr. SeekNet. And you're like, I'm like, what's your name? And then you're like, Gurmastik. And then and I felt so much love from you, man. It was like meeting a brother. Like you so open and so loving, right? I carry that memory of that first meeting with me all the time, right? And so to finish off, like, people who've done a solstice, they know that it can be very intense. So when we were walking around the camp the first day, we're all happy. We're in Florida. We're coming from cold Calgary. And people are like, oh, are you doing solstice? We're like, yeah, we're going to do solstice. We don't know what it is. Never done it. Never researched. We don't know anything. And they're like, oh, how long have you been doing yoga? Because it's like very experienced people. And we're like, oh, we've never really done yoga. They're like, and you're doing the solstice, like the full Wang Tai trick? We're like, yeah. And then about the third day, me and my buddy are like, yo, I think we bit off a little bit more than we could chew. Long story short, we ended up doing one day of it. And we made it through one day. And the next day, we took off to Disney World or whatever it was in Florida. And we ate like really bad food. And we got off the mung beans and stuff. And it was just it was a fun story. And it was a fun time. But that's when I kind of first had my meetings. We both had meetings with your Sangat. And honestly, man, I felt so much love. Right. And when I went and saw you in 2009, it was like you were so hospitable, you're so open, you're so caring, right? And you know, you're kind of mentioning a few things, and you know, I heard some grumblings, you know, some stuff about what's going on out there on the internet about you, or like, and it hurts me, because I think personally, I know you, so I can say, like, no, this guy, you're all about love, and the Sangat's about love, right? And I felt that. But I think the biggest, one of my biggest worries and fears is that people are not doing their research, right? Like, they like to hear something negative, and they like to run with it. I don't know why, it's human nature or whatever it is, but in spirituality, I think we have to go beyond that. We have to go and try to look in... like, instead of hearing something negative and getting excited and spreading that, we should try to always think positive, be positive, right? Have a positive outlook, positive thought process. If we hear something negative, before believing it, do some research, right? I think that's the biggest issue now. We live in a fast food society, right? We get our food like through fast food, and we get our information like fast food, right? And a lot, just like fast food, fast food information is really detrimental to your mind, right? So it's important that, you know, we do our research and we look into some, if someone's trying to say something about someone or you're hearing something online, I think it's important that you do a little bit of research, right? Maybe talk to people who know that person or look into it. Like one look at SickNet and you realize it's all positivity and you've put your heart and soul into SickNet, right? And I use it as an amazing resource, right? And, you know, all I see is nothing but positive on that. So I think it's important that we put that out there, that it's, you know, we have to be bigger and we have to be better than this, right?
Yeah. And I think you're totally right on. And I think part of it is that you don't really, even if you were to quote unquote research it, like there's so much information online that is kind of very surface level.
Right, right.
And if somebody were to tell me, if you were to say, hey, I saw this so-and-so, and then all of a sudden I take it at face value, I don't know that person, or that's maybe one side of the story. And in any case, it's like I tell people, I said, look, this is what I'm for. This is what I believe in. You can believe what you want, but come here, come meet the Sangha, come meet, see who we are, get to know us. Mm-hmm. If you care, take the time. You get to, you know, you get to see another side and see the real story. And that takes a little bit of effort. It's easy to just react. It's harder to act. We're like, you know, it's, we want to just like flip through our news feed and be like, oh yeah, they're terrorists. Share, yeah. You know, whatever. Angry face. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of, I think, the disease that we have now. And that's, it's perpetuating more of this ninda, more of this hatred, more of this anger, more of this feeling, which is counter to what I feel, which is really about spreading the love, about spreading the compassion, about spreading the awareness and the acceptance, about really opening our arms and being there, like we're there for everybody and we're there to support each other. And that's not a naive thing to say, you know, some guy comes up to me and or is yelling, you know, angry things at me. I look at that person and try to see, okay, maybe they're having a hard time in their life. Maybe they have a lot of anger. They've been forced to do something or, you know, whatever. It helps me kind of have a little more compassion. And it's not easy. We're all humans. Yeah, we all have different.
And we're all on this journey.
Yeah. So it's not to say that, you know, it's this like perfect thing, but it's really about the awareness of when you start catching yourself thinking and going in a direction of negativity towards somebody else or judging somebody else, that you catch that thought and you become aware of it. Mm-hmm. And then you can cut it and like question yourself about why am I thinking this? Because sometimes it is internal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've ever had this, but when I'm in a bad mood and I didn't get up, do meditation in the day or whatever, like I don't feel as clear or as positive. And during that time, I oftentimes will feel more critical, angry, or reactive to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say that for the most part, it's not anything to do with those other people. It's all internal.
Mm-hmm.
So that feeling of what's going on internally in each of us affects our viewpoint of what we see in the world. If you're having a hard life, your boss is being mean to you, or your mom is being, you know, causing you whatever, like that's your filter.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see somebody that's going through stuff, and then you can be understanding and like connect with them.
Yeah, exactly. And I like how you said that. Example for that would be like if you buy a new car, that's a certain, like say you buy a blue truck, all of a sudden you start noticing that same brand and that same truck everywhere, right? So it's where you put your focus, right? If you have a more of a negative thought process, or, you know, you're not in the best mood, then things are going to bug you, right? One of the ways I used to judge my spirituality was if I would get mad during driving, right? Like my level of road rage was my judgment of my spirituality, because I would be like, sometimes when I was really on, I'm doing my practice, right? I'm doing my, you know, my daily practice and everything's on. Someone could cut me off off and yell at me and swear at me. And I'd be like, oh, they're probably having a bad day. I feel bad for them. Yeah. That's when I'm like, oh, okay, I'm connected, right? Yeah. And then sometimes it's like someone just does one thing and you're like yelling back at them. Then I'm like, oh, okay, Saj, you need to get back to your practice. And true enough, I'm not doing enough of the practice, right? And when I, and to just go back, when I said do your research, I definitely, you know, I don't mean do more research of the same thing. I mean, go to the source, right? So yeah. You can see like the type of seed someone has planted in them by the crop that they yield, right? And that's what I mean. Like, go to the crop. Your crop is Sikhna,
yeah.
Right? Or your crop are the people who have met you,
yeah.
Right? So I'm saying, go to Sikhna, see what they're about. Go to the Sangha, like you said. You're giving a full invite.
That's why I always tell them, I'm like, why just spread around this stuff? People ask me questions all the time. They say, I heard this, so and so. And I say, all right, this is what I know. Yeah. And it's not like there's anything that I hide. Mm-hmm. So it's just that people don't want to make the effort a lot of times. And it's just the sensational kind of, you know, bring out the pitchforks. Yeah. And I think in Indian culture, and this is not really a stereotype, but it's kind of like when I grew up in India, and there was something happened, people would literally like get, the whole town would close because people would be rioting and going violent. Mm-hmm. And there is a level of reaction that people have. And you hear that in the news, like the mobs that killed some guy, you know, for supposedly, you know, ate some beef, killed the cow. Yeah, yeah. And there's other things, examples of that where people do that kind of extreme reaction. Yeah. So in this more subtle sense, I see that there's like the Sikh Problems blog. When I started Mr. Sikh, there was another blog that came, which was just pointing out all the faults in other people. It was the Sikh. I was like, why don't you make a Sikh Solutions blog?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, to me, it was so counterproductive. Like, spend the same energy trying to support and uplift people. Stop trying to find what all that, like, okay, we can spend our energy saying, this is the Gurdwaras are doing all these bad things. Mm-hmm. These people are doing all the bad things, but who's gonna stand up and do something about it and actually stop talking and act? That's what I say, act, don't react.
That's deep, yeah. Like, we should start that Sikh Solutions blog. It's out there, guys, if you wanna do it, right? But, yeah, that's very interesting. I agree with you. You know, you mentioned mob mentality. I think that's in all cultures across the spectrum. It's just being quick to judge and blaming other people for things that you don't know everything of. So I think, especially in Sikhi, man, we're such a small, you know, group of people as it is, right? As Sikhs, right? Like, we should uphold each other. We should have more love for each other. We should have more respect for each other. We should allow... Not, you know what I've noticed? I've noticed some, like, Sikhs will say, yeah, I think all religions are cool, but then they'll have like major issues with other Sikhs who think a different way. You get what I'm saying? Like, instead of being like, yeah, all religions are cool, and, you know, I'm open to everyone practicing their own way, until it comes to Sikhi, where they start pointing out all the issues.
Yeah, I know that's definitely one of the things that I find very odd, because the basis, the fundamental of our philosophy is really this one God, many paths. And I think that's one of the things that many people who grown up in my community who haven't come from a Punjabi background or Sikh families, this attracts them, this universal message that in this age where there's all these kind of ritualistic, quote unquote, religions and dogma, that they feel like this is refreshing. This is something new. It's a young religion that speaks to a lot of the modern issues and a whole different kind of thought. And so when they come in and then they come across other people that don't reflect that state of mind, then it's just like, whoa, this isn't what I thought it was. Yeah, yeah. And so that's very off-putting. And I think many, many people that I grew up with, they came with this innocence. They didn't have the knowledge or the history or the info. They just had some little connection or inspiration, and that's what got them in.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I think when we make anything into a rigid system, I think that's where we're gonna have some issues, right? For me too, this is where this whole oneness concept, I talked to you in depth about it before the podcast, of Ik, right? That one universal being, quote unquote, right? that's inside of me is also inside of you. And it's just like this, you know, this beautiful Paramatma trying to experience itself through these different forms, right? Mm-hmm. Through the form of beauty of nature, of trees, of animals, of other human beings, right? So if that's the case, why am I putting up these barriers? When I started getting into this ik philosophy, I started seeing more and more people as like one and the same. And it's so cliche, but it's different when you actually experience that, right? And then when I started looking towards more the Sikh jathas, it's, you know, you start like everyone's practicing the way that they think is beautiful, right? So I think that, you know, we need to keep that in mind and keep that type of practice going, because it's so easy to, like, you know, build up walls, and it's so easy to tear down people, right? But it's hard to, like, make steps to create. Yeah. Right, like create one of the first websites on Sikhi and making it so that other people, everyone benefits from it. That takes a lot of time and effort, and I've seen how much work you've put into it whenever I've been around you, or how busy you are with that and how passionate you are, right? So I think it's important that if someone's trying to create something, why tear them down right away? Why not try to figure out from their perspective and see what they're doing? Because they're trying to put all, it takes a lot more energy to create something than destroy something, right? So if someone's putting that energy in, let's support them. And if you have any doubts or issues, like I said, go to the source, right?
Yeah. You know, growing up in boarding school in India, it was like, and I kind of think of this in relation to some of the challenges in the Sikh community, like everything in school, when we were in school, it was like, you either do this or else. You don't ask questions, you just do it. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, has contributed to some of the ways of thinking of why many Sikh youth and why many people are not practicing Sikhi, because at a certain point now, they're like, why do I want to just do it? It doesn't mean anything to me. And so this is kind of at the point where we're looking at when they have these rigid practices that people follow, this or else, black and white, and it's just this rule book. That is where I feel for many, Sikhi has become a ritual. Mm-hmm. And I feel that those early days was really where, as a teenager, I was trying to find my own identity of, like, going through that phase of, what do I want to be? Do I want to be a Sikh? Is this for me? Understanding what this is. And SikhNet was kind of the startings of that, of like, we need to speak a new language. Mm-hmm. And communicate in a way that our generation will relate to. And that was the seed for SikhNet, was because all the stuff that was being shared with me at that time was, I didn't relate to that. And still, there's a lot of things I don't relate to. So for me, Sikhi is a spiritual path. Yeah. It's a path of learning. And it's a journey. It's not like I've become the great wise so-and-so. It's like I'm learning every day, and it's a constant journey. Yeah. And everybody else is on their journey. Yeah. And so this is just about supporting each other in our journey and being open and alert to when you need to support other people and when you need to pay attention to what you need to change and work on. So I think those are really kind of the core parts that I look at, is not having this rigid kind of practice. And really, like, for me, in terms of my daily practice, I know, like, originally I used to feel so guilty that, like, when I didn't get up in Amritville, I didn't meditate, I didn't do different things, that my mom was always like, you know, did you do it? And then when I did one day, when I tell her, I'd be like, Mataji, I did my sadhana, I did my meditation. And it was like, oh, good beta, you know, pat on the back, check, you know, mark. Check mark, yeah. You know, and we always hear about other people, okay, you got to do your panjbani, check, 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 check. Mm-hmm. And I hear from so many people online who are sharing how, well, I don't get anything from it. And it, like, it just feels like a chore. And I was like, so for me, in that philosophy of, like, spirituality, and it's really like, do what gives you the energy. Do something different. Mm-hmm. Try something different. Do a mool mantra with full intention and focus. Mm-hmm. Do something. Try something different. So that, because these really are just tools, mm-hmm. that the tools that the guru gave us to connect, mm-hmm. with our soul, with the God within each of us. And if what we're doing doesn't give us any of that connection, then honestly, why bother? Find something, you know, do something different, talk to somebody different, like step, you know, there, it's not to say don't do your nitnam, don't do your practice,
no,
but just explore, you know, if you're stuck in that and you're not feeling it, open out.
Don't be afraid to try new things, I guess. And, you know, I think we know that the external affects the internal, right? All the psychologists have said this, all these like fly-by-night self-help people, and the ones who really do help people through the self-help, they all talk about how, you know, your external, what you put in, like what comes to you through your ears, through your eyes, what you focus on is how your mind starts to work, right? And that's how Gurbani works. Mm-hmm. So Gurbani, if you understand it, the more you read it, like Nitanim, daily Nam, like daily connection, right? Or, you know, doing your practice daily, you're supposed to read it in a way where your mind doesn't just tune it out. Your mind actually engages with it, mm-hmm. right? You're reading the Guru's Bani, right? You're reading what the Gurus wrote, what the Gurus thought, their thought processes they've given to us, right? They've said that if you read this Gurbani and understand this Gurbani, you're understanding what we've been, how we think. And therefore, that'll change how we think, right? So if you're under, like, if you're very negative or you have these issues and stuff, Gurbani is literally able to transform you, but you're going to have to understand what you're saying, right? Because your mind has thoughts, millions and millions of thoughts. In order to control those thoughts, you're going to have to put something in there that's going to make it more positive or make it more, you know, in tuned. So I think you're right. I think when you do your daily practice, there should be some sort of connection there, right? And I think when you start missing that connection is when you start lashing out at other people because they're not practicing the same way you are. So therefore, they're wrong. So on that note, just to kind of steer away from that now, unless you want to add anything to that.
Well, the only thought I would add was like, personally for me, like if we're talking about Nitnem, like the different Banis, I've noticed a difference. I don't know how you feel, but when I'm feeling vulnerable or attacked or whatever, like if I'm doing Bani by Guru Gobind Singh and I'm doing Japsab or Benti Chope, I mean, that feeling, I don't know how to express it in word, but I don't understand all the words, but the energy of that gives that feeling of strength and protection and warrior spirit. Yeah. And so that's where I look at, like, these are tools. Anansab, you know, Kirtan Soila, I do with my daughter every night. It's that just peace, calm, you know, it definitely, these are like tools that you can use. You don't have to just think of it just as like your daily chore.
Yes. Yes. Like you said, that's beautiful, man. When you feel like you need more protection, you do the Chopi Sahib, or if you feel like you need more Anand, you do Anand Sahib, or you focus more on Anand Sahib. And yeah, where you focus is where your energy is going to be, or your thought process is going to be. And then when you add actually understanding what the Guru is saying, it's like this amazing, you know, combination, right? Really powerful, right? So yeah, really appreciate your take on that. So moving forward now, what do you think is going to be the landscape? Because for me, you're kind of pioneer into the digital space, I guess you can say, of Sikhi. There's so much out there now, right? There's people who are comedians, right, that make it really funny on YouTube, right? There's YouTube videos like Paisatpal Singh or Basics of Sikhi, where you can learn about Sikhi on YouTube. There's so much more now, and I think you are one of the first ones to kind of go into this, tread into this water with Sikhi, right? Like, how do you feel about the space now, the digital space now? What's going on with the Sikhi thought, right? And what do you think is going to happen in the future? What do you see?
Yeah, well, I'm certainly from the beginning, there was, you know, when I started, there was no other Sikh orgs, particularly in the U.S., very little. Not even just like the online world, there wasn't much. So we've come a long way as a community, which is a really positive thing. And I'm excited that there is a lot more media, and particularly media being created by our generation, you could say next generation, not our immigrant parents, but the generation that's growing up in the West in this new way of thinking. And that's a really positive thing because there's a lot of positive voices that are sharing in a different way that our generation can connect to, that's mm-hmm. giving value. I think that's one area. But I think the challenge part with that is that the older generation is still trying to, like, they haven't really, many of that generation haven't really caught up to see that value. And so in order for a lot of these to grow beyond the kind of hobbyist kind of thing, many of them need more support. And that's the challenge that all of the orgs faced, is how to sustain this. Because doing something, you know, in your free time every once in a while is one thing, but as the scope of the projects grow, mm-hmm. and that's what for SeekNet has been like. It used to be like, hey, I'd have this idea. Hey, I'll do a blog. We'll create this wiki. You know, I'll create this matrimonial site or this chat group or, you know, whatever the many different random ideas that came out, and then you create it. But then at a certain point, it's like, some of those projects grew to be bigger. Like Gurbani Media Center, that's like a huge project. It's not like it's something that's ongoing, that you're developing content, you have programmers, and it's constantly evolving. So that, I think, and I hear that from the other organizations too, that they're struggling, and we see people still relate to giving their Daswan only to the Gurdwaras. And tons of money being wasted for silly things. Like I saw in the news, somebody forwarded me, you know, they were showcasing these 24 karat gold lamps at the Harmandir Sahib, two of them, you know, some X number of $1 million. I'm like, for what? How many people could be fed with that? How many people could be inspired? Like for somebody's ego or whatever, that they're giving some gold lamp that they can say, I gave that, and to put it in front. And that's in a more extreme, because not everybody's giving $1 million things every day. But, you know, I'm here in England, and there's, you know, there's a Gurdwara this way, and I look that way, there's another Gurdwara there.
But Gurmastak, we need more marble. We need more marble on our Gurdwara, man.
Yeah, I would say the Gurdwara is a place of learning. And I think probably for many of the community, it's just become a cultural hub.
Yes.
Because like how I said, it was in the US, people don't feel a part of the culture and they stay insular. Yeah. We stay within our communities. And that's one of the challenges, is that it's harder for people to feel comfortable going out. And that's part of how people get to know us.
Yes.
And so because it's that, and people keep, it just perpetuates the kind of some of the same thing. And this is where we talk about the youth coming, being involved, and I know so many of the younger generation have expressed, like, they won't let us in, they won't do this, but I think the answer really
you're preaching to the choir here, yeah. Man.
But we can be frustrated all day long, and I hear everybody complain about SGPC or about this, and I went to, from the early days, I went to SGPC, I said, let's do this, and we set a meeting, nobody showed up. And then, you know, I remember when they first started live audio streaming from Harmandir Sahib, it kept crashing because the computer they had didn't have enough memory. This is probably like, I don't know, $50, $20. They wouldn't pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the level. But okay, put that aside. I'm not going to gripe. I'm saying we all have the power to impact change.
Yeah.
And each of us, and this is what inspires me. So I see, like, I'm here and I see new inspired individuals kind of with the same juice that I remember I had in those early days. I mean, you're here with this podcast, like with this new enthusiasm and direction of like taking on the world. Like, you know, there was another parents, they're Sikh dad, they go by Sikh dad and Sikh mom, and they're spearheading these parenting kind of things to help parents come together and provide resources. And then there's another, you know, friend who runs the Car Life, who's working on trying to provide a platform for women to deal with some of the issues that come up within the Sikh community particularly. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of these grassroots things that is starting, and that's really positive, and I'm excited seeing that's happening.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons I started the Sikh podcast. You said it, the sickest podcast, because
it's the sickest.
Sick, because it is the sickest podcast, right? I mean, look at this. We got Gurmastak here,
sick.
Mr. Sikh Net, right? So, but it was because I love what you said about, you know, we can complain all we want. And, you know, we try to enact change too. Like, we were part of the first ever youth group, a fully youth group in Canada in 2013 and that. And I realized that this is the way I want to affect change now. So what you said about learning centers, can you imagine going to the Gurdwara and you walk in and there's like a media center there where you can pull up like the history of, you want to know about the history of Maharaja Ranjit Singh, you pull that up, or Guru Gobind Singh, you pull that up, right? And there's rooms and different classes going on along with the Darbar, you know what I mean? This class is for like some, you know, you're talking to someone. Like, I remember there's a Sikh who started a Sikhi class in Harvard, like from a Harvard point of view. It was like a Harvard educated professor who has a class on Sikhi online, right? So it's like a online Harvard class or something. And imagine, you know, you go to one room and you can be learning that, right? Someone can be going through that, and you go to another room and you learn the history or Kirtan, and it's like done properly. And, you know, it's like, one of the things Bhai Jagraj Singh used to say was that all the rooms around Darbar Sahib used to be classrooms, right? Not Khanpat rooms, but classrooms, right? And I just found that absolutely amazing. And one of the things I learned was that during Maharaja Ranjit Singh's time, the most educated place in the world was Punjab. Have you heard that stat? Yeah, I heard that stat. And then I started looking into it and I realized there was no universities at that time. And then I looked more into it and I realized Gurdwaras were the places where people got educated. That's where people learned, right? So Gurdwaras were like schools.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing, I was in a participating in a leadership camp in, was it Melbourne? And we were getting together all different youth together. You could say youth, but they're mostly college and above. And one of the participants of that, Sahib Joe, she's an architect, a young architect, and she's trying to revitalize some of the old ways of like the Gurdwara being a place of knowledge and using architecture and the space in a positive way. And it was super inspiring seeing she presented that, because the whole idea was for that workshop was really people who have ideas who want to make a change in the world, but maybe don't really know how or what to do, or seed new ideas so that people who might want to do something and they're not sure, so they could go away from that and actually start with something. And I feel like when we look at the community now, predominantly we're very oriented towards career goals, and that's it's understandable given when you think about many people being in India, and it's kind of like can be a rat race, survival, and your parents wanting to be like a doctor or a lawyer because they want you to have a high paying, secure job. I get that. Now, a lot of us are growing up in the West. We have a little more security. If we don't invest in our community's future, either through supporting organizations and individuals who are doing it, or ourselves doing it, it's not going to come from some random, you know, gyanis or immigrants from, you know, who aren't educated to have that vision. Somebody's got to have the vision and execute it. And there's only so much that we can do kind of in our free time. So that's part of the challenge, that is that there's a certain level of leadership that we have to take, because we can't just complain about the problems. And because ultimately, who's going to do it? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, so complain less and take more steps. And people who are taking steps, let's prop them up, right? Let's help them. Let's get behind these positive initiatives. Let's stop looking at what divides us and start looking at what actually unites us. Let's build bridges, right? Instead of building up walls, right? Let's break down barriers. That's what Sikhi was about. That's what the gurus were about. Gurmastak, thank you so much for sitting and chatting. We had a good time beforehand and after. The doses tasted amazing. And so Gurmastak, just to wrap up, do you want to finish off with concluding with anything? And please give your contact information on how people can reach you, the website, your Instagram, whatever it is.
Yeah, thanks, Sajvir. Yeah, I'm people know me, but I'm certainly accessible. You can reach out to us. I'm on Instagram at Mr. Seeknet, probably most of the other ways you can just search Mr. Seeknet, but certainly Seeknet.com. If you're in the app stores, just search for Seeknet. There's Gurbani Media Center app, the Kids Stories app, the Hukam Nama and others. So check it out and reach out. You know, I love connecting with people and really trying to find like-minded individuals who are interested in positive change and ultimately act, don't react. We have the opportunity to see the change that we want, but we have to do something. We have to put some skin in the game. And I'm grateful for Sajvir for having a little bit of opportunity to share some of this with you.
Seeknet.com, a labor of love. Once again, when we met you, you took us in, you looked for a house for us, you made sure we had a room, you didn't know us from scratch. One of the most, you did so much seva for everyone who came down. Didn't matter what your affiliation was. I felt so much love. My wife felt love. Nothing but love for you. And I hope people can see that. And I hope people can go beyond, you know, whatever, and go to the source, because, you know, I know you, and you know, you're an amazing soul. For me, you all know, because you're listening, Sikhist Podcast, Sikhist Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Like, follow, comment. Stay blessed. Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa.
Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh.